And now as we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. O Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and he would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, than the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, when we had been in our house here for a little less than a year, we started what turned out to be our longest-running struggle at 815 Jefferson Avenue North. I mean, I almost hope that the folks buying our house are not tuning into Facebook Live today. We noticed a little patch of mint growing on the side of our house, kind of near where the driveway is now. And it looks like it had been planted intentionally, and I know that Gloria White was quite a gardener. But I don't know if any of you have ever had the misfortune of a mint plant finding its way out of a pot and into the ground. And I am here to tell you that it is truly indestructible. Seemed like overnight that little mint patch had turned into a giant mint patch. And we knew that the only way to get rid of it was to dig up every single root. So Andy and I got out there after dinner on several hot summer nights and just dug and plucked all the mint we could. We were very proud of all our hard work, felt like we finally had this beast under control, if not eliminated. Until the next spring. And there it was again. Somehow, even more of it this time. And every spring since, that mint patch has spread more and more. It gets larger and more prolific beyond what we could hope to extinguish at this point. And oddly enough, that kind of seems to be what Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is like in these strange agricultural parables. It honestly sounds like our Lord would have been a terrible gardener, because I don't know anyone who just scatters seed and then does nothing. No watering, no tending, no weeding, no pruning. In the first parable, that is all that the gardener does. Scatter seed and go to bed. Sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. that seems a little off. And in the second parable about the mustard seed, y'all know that mustard seeds actually do not grow into these large grand trees, right? A mustard plant, the type of plant that's used for harvesting mustard seeds for spice, is more like the size of, honestly, overgrown mint or really large weeds. There is one type of ancient mustard tree, but even that is nothing like what Jesus is describing, where birds of the air would make nests in its shade. It's more like a shrub, a word that Jesus does use, and it would usually grow to about 6 feet tall, which just doesn't seem so grand. So is Jesus making a rookie mistake here? Is he just really bad at agriculture and doesn't know what he's talking about? Or is he trying to make a point? Could Jesus be trying to tell us that the kingdom of God grows in completely surprising and unpredictable ways? Scattered seeds growing beyond the gardener's capabilities, or a tiny mustard seed that can produce these large branches that what should be, by all accounts, insignificant and small, actually has the power to change the world. In the mid-1970s, a Presbyterian woman named Rosellen Calvert and her family were sort of struggling financially. But even so, she would always feel her heart being tugged on every time she watched news stories about worldwide hunger. And she realized that she didn't have very much to give, but that she could give something. So Rosellen and her family all agreed that every time they ate a meal, they would add 2 cents apiece to an empty bowl on their dining room table to remind them of those who had nothing at all to eat. And eventually, in the hopes of sharing those coins to help feed others. Which on the surface doesn't really seem like it would actually make much of a difference. Pennies are basically worthless. They're so insignificant that there's been a long-running debate about whether the U.S. government should even keep producing them. It actually costs us taxpayers 2.06 cents to make and distribute a single penny. Pennies are literally more trouble than they're worth. But Rosellen had pennies. After a couple of years, Rosellen got the women in her church circle on board. They all started collecting their pennies. And then in 1976, she introduced that idea to her presbytery, and it just kept catching on. Presbyterian women and other congregations around her hometown started doing the same thing. And what started as a few pennies at a time, with a few people at a time, is now, of course, the 2 cents a meal offering that so many of you support today. Those pennies that start on dining room tables combine with one another into a snowball of support, feeding the hungry from here in Pulaski and across this country to Nicaragua and South Sudan and India. And in fact, if every adult member of the Presbyterian Church USA would set aside 2 pennies per meal, and assuming that all of us eat 3 meals per day, then we would raise together over $27 million a year to help end hunger. But what good is a penny? And what good is such a tiny seed? You might think that you are only one little person. Or you might think that we are only one church, and a relatively small one at that. But there is power in something so small. If one tiny seed can change the world, then one tiny person or one tiny church can too. One act of kindness, one moment of courage, one creative idea can make all the difference. And it's how the kingdom of God will grow, one seed at a time, one heart at a time, one action at a time, until the world is overwhelmed with the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.